Good morning. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have a Robert Stewart in this morning, who is a partner of a lot of Sonics in Middle Tennessee. Hi, Robert.
A few. Hi. How you doing?
Yeah, just a few. So you were kind of telling me how many Sonics are you involved with?
Well, it's approximately about 15, but I basically take care of the two stores in Cookeville on Jefferson and Jackson, and the small partner in Allgood, Livingston. In that area,
I'm a fan of the Allgood Sonic. I'm a Allgood girl myself.
There you go.
So tell me, and this has been a long process. Sonics are a well established franchise that's been around. I mean, when did Sonic itself start?
Well, that's a good question, and we may have to edit this, but I think it's 1959. They were one of the first way back in Oklahoma.
Yeah,
and. And so I had never worked in a restaurant before till I was 29. Mm. So it's kind of a long story, but I got a degree in geology. So I was actually a petroleum geologist in the oil business in the 80s. And then when it crashed in the 80s, which was good for you and bad for me, I ended up in the restaurant business.
Wow. So where, why Sonic? Where did that come from? Where was the drive?
Well, I had a friend that I knew, and he said they were looking for a partner in the Cookeville area. They hadn't opened any. And I was just fresh from the oil business shutting down. The price of oil went to $9 a barrel, and people in our industry were just instantly out of work.
Yeah.
And so I had my wife and I had twin boys that were 2 years old. We were hungry.
Mm. So you had two twin boys.
So I had two twin boys and definitely needed work. Had a friend that said they were looking for a partner in a Sonic Drive-In in Cookeville. They were going to build one. I had never worked in a restaurant whatsoever. Had no idea.
No food service.
No experience. Food service whatsoever. And I said, yeah, that sounds good. I always wanted to have my own business. And I had my own consulting business when I was in the oil business. So I enjoyed that part of it. And so I went to the stores in Cookeville and Sparta. That's where the senior partners are, and saw what was going on. It's a very simple operation. And thought, yeah, that's something I can do, and our family can be in one spot. If I was going to be in the oil business, I'd have to travel to Texas, Oklahoma, all of South Dakota, all the places that where it was happening. And just didn't want to do that, so I wanted to settle down. So that's how I ended up in the Sonic Drive-In business.
So Sonic Drive-In, they're going to establish some in Middle Tennessee. You kind of have the connections to
yes.
start into it. Why not just start your own? You know, why an established franchise instead of your own thing?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. And that's something to really think about when you are going to get into a restaurant business, because you have to jump through a lot of hoops all the time. Mm-hmm. Because you're dealing with corporate and you're dealing with partners, and that can be challenging at times. But see, I had no experience, so I had no idea how to start a restaurant. Mm-hmm. So I was relying on a tried and true franchise that knew how to, been doing it for a long time, and partners that had been doing it for a long time. So it made it quite easy for me to step into that role.
Well, I think sometimes when you're part of a franchise, you have that established name.
Right.
And so
right.
People will stop because they know what... They know what they're getting when they get to Sonic.
Right. And the investment in Sonic was decent. It wasn't as expensive as it is at McDonald's, as Arby's. I did check into Arby's, actually, before I talked to Sonic. And the investment is reasonable, and it's a reasonable return, and it's very, you know, it's a small building. There's the profit margin in a Sonic can be decent, as restaurants go. A lot of them run on razor-thin margins.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what attracted to me. It was energetic. I was 29 at the time. I had a lot of energy, more than I do now at 67. And I knew there was room for growth because there were going to be more Sonics built in the area. So I knew there was potential to hang in there.
And did you know that they would all be part of that same group, or did you think that they would, you know,
yes.
there would be competition?
Well, the senior partners that we have are from Oklahoma, and they've got about 600 Sonics.
Mm.
So they're big. And
yeah.
Mason, Harrison, Gerard, most of them, all three of those folks have passed away. But they were big, and I knew there was a lot of support there, and they were good men. They were just good men to be partners with. They wanted you to be successful. they wanted to help you. And so that was attractive.
So back in 1986, when you first got involved,
yes. Mm-hmm.
What did that day look like for you? You know, you think of if you're you're part of a group, you're investing money, but what does that look like for you? Were you, you know, putting on the roller skates?
Well, no, but, you know, we did have some girls that skated at first. No vacation for 6 years.
Mm.
Vasonic is open 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. And if I had really thought about that, that might have been an idea to think about, to be open 7 days a week, almost 24/7. It was constant. You can be the best restaurant in town, and 5 minutes later, you can be the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the challenge. It's all about people. It's all about following procedures. It's all about encouraging folks. Man, my wife and I do see it as a ministry, or I think we would have burned out a long time ago. We try to help a lot of folks. We hire a lot of people from halfway houses and try to give them an opportunity, and we try to pay them well.
How has that journey been for you? I think, you know, when you're looking at almost alternative hiring of people who are it's not easy to find a job in certain situations. That's scary for employers to kind of take that leap.
Well, you know, maybe about 8 years ago, we would have a stack of applications, no problem hiring. Starting about 8 years ago, a little bit before the COVID issues, we had no applications. Young people, I don't know what happened to all the young people, if they all went to Mars or wherever, because we kind of do specialize in bringing in the used to we didn't hire anybody less than 18. Well, we've gone down to 16. And I don't know where they went. And maybe the restaurant, fast food industry is hard work. It's not easy. So I don't know really what happened starting 10 years ago, but at 10 years to this point, we have had to look for the adults. Mm-hmm. And we still get quite a few kids. And I'm very encouraged with the kind of people we're getting now. It's good folks.
So in that day-to-day, and you had two locations that you were starting, right?
Well, no, we started with just one.
Just on the Jefferson one.
The Jefferson Sonic.
And you mentioned to me that when you first put in to try and start that location, what was the response?
Well, the bank said we were way too far out of town.
Which, those of you who are listening, the Sonic on Jefferson, if you're like, where is that again? It's right in front of the Walmart now.
Right in front
now.
Of Walmart.
It's
Walmart.
In the thick of everything
right,
now.
Right, right. And that's a huge blessing. Now, Walmart was not there. And Walmart was where Office Max used to be, next to Tractor Supply. Where Crystal is now was a field full of cows.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were kind of far out. And there was a Sonic from another group that was on 10th Street where the skating rink used to be, Wheeler Skating Rink.
Yeah.
That used to be a Sonic, and it did go out of business. So there was, but that we had nothing to do with that. So there was a little intrepidation of, you guys are wanting to start something that didn't work before, you're way out of town like the other one, so what's going on? But when we opened, we were one of the largest Sonics in the whole chain. So,
and were you mentioned your wife being involved too? When did she kind of jump on board with?
Well,
things?
She did in the very beginning. It took both of us, you know. And she didn't obviously work the hours I did. She was taking care of two twin boys, and that's what Sonic is. It's a family thing. We've got four kids, two 40-year-old boys and a 36-year-old daughter and a 33-year-old daughter. They've all worked at Sonic quite mm-hmm. a bit.
They wear the roller skates?
None of them wore roller skates. But they all worked. The boys worked in the kitchen and the girls car hopped.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter won Saturday car hopping. She's very vivacious, very energetic girl. But one Saturday, she made $350 in tips. Mm. She worked a double shift and worked hard and made a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's that sometimes parents feel like, oh, you have your whole life to work. And I'm like, yeah. And I guess it can start at 15, 16, 17
oh, yeah.
years old.
Oh, yeah.
Like to me as a parent, I was that kid that started working as soon as I got a driver's license. And
amen.
So, you know, and I worked two and three jobs at times before. And so that, you know, but that's instilled in me, and that's where I've gotten to where I'm at today. And so I think that that's that. And even you working 7 days a week, you know, it wasn't fun. It wasn't great.
Oh, no, no. But the first part of it, you know, and I reevaluated it, you know, 2 years, 4 years, yeah, and then finally got a vacation. But when you find your managers and you train them and you encourage them and you become their friends, and they're, because they don't work for Sonic, they work for you. And we become a family. I have this one dear lady named Juanita Giss and another dear lady named Barbie Hamilton. They've worked for me for almost 36 years.
Wow.
And they're family.
Yeah.
And, but like, yeah, when my kids worked, I told them, I said, look, if you don't go in there and do the dirty stuff first, if mm-hmm. you don't outwork everybody first, they're going to hate you.
Yeah.
Because you're the boss's kids. And so I tried to prepare them for that possibility and to be ready for it. And I said, the only way out of it is just outwork everybody.
So what's kept you going all this time? You know, that,
well,
36
know,
years is a so bit.
It's a long time, and it's had its ups and downs. Like I said, my wife and I have a strong faith in the Lord. And if it weren't for the fact that we see this as a ministry to these kids and a ministry to the adults, no way would we still be in it. It's mm-hmm. it's too difficult. But we get to give folks a good job, decent money, and help them maybe go on to a path to go to school and work through their schooling, you know, and be flexible, very flexible, because we want our main goal is when we get an employee, we want them to succeed. We want them to succeed at Sonic, or if they're going to go somewhere else, we want them to succeed at that. And we try our best to do that. Now, have I been perfect at it? Not, absolutely not. But that's been our heart. And that's what's kept us going.
Well, and some of those young employees, they're probably, you're the first person outside of their parents really pouring into them and instilling some life lessons in them. And so that part of it is impactful for the longevity of their life.
Oh, yeah. Well, and, you know, you talked about your upbringing, but a lot of kids don't have any.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a fashion, we do become mom and dad. And so again, it's a huge responsibility.
Yeah,
that we just don't take lightly at all. And we've seen a lots of success. We have seen a lot of kids that we've nurtured through the business go to school, nurses, engineers, and I was had an emergency appendectomy. So there I am on the gurney, and I look up. And it's one of my first employees who is the nurse there that's going to get ready to get me prepped. And his name was Daniel Bradham. It's been a long time since I've seen him.
Yeah, full circle. We'll be right back. Thanks for sticking with us. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry. And I have Robert Stewart, partner, owner?
Partner.
Facilitator of Sonics.
All three of those.
Lots of hats that you wear.
Yes.
You know, I think, like I said, when you say partner or investor, it's like, oh, you just, you know, you're sitting on your back deck drinking your lemonade while everybody else is doing hard work.
Well,
that's not the case.
That's not the case. And Sonic, in order to be a partner, you have to be working in the store. You're a working
owner
partner.
Operator.
Yes. And because it's just like I said, it can go south very quickly. You just have to be right on top. And I'm sure you've been at a restaurant when you knew there was a breakdown somewhere, mm-hmm. breakdown in the kitchen, breakdown in operations. It can just happen so quickly. And a lot of times people aren't very forgiving if the food's not right.
Well, and I think sometimes too, just having the staff, that knowing the atmosphere is right, mm-hmm. makes the staff have, you know, the customers have a good experience with the servers, but car hops, that just changes things. And so, and that all comes from the top down.
It does.
And the customers can see that when
it
you
does.
Have, I mean, I remember as a kid that, being at a restaurant and this woman was like, I just want to take this job and shove it.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, okay. And she, you know, she's like, I'm just trying to quit. I'm like, that's not the kind of environment.
No,
obviously.
No. When you hire a car hop, what I do is I sit down with them and just talk to them like we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about yourself, what's going on. And I see the smiles. I see if the smile comes without any prodding. I just see their demeanor. And because I have not been able to make a mean car up a nice car up in all these years, you just have to learn to hire the folks. And some folks just don't want to engage with people, and that's totally fine.
And there are positions, like said, your boys were working in the kitchen. Yeah, you can, so there are positions that aren't interacting with customers.
Right, right. And so, it's so interesting. It's a people business. You got people taking, just like any business, taking care of people. And you just, you learn a lot about people. We had one lady, we could not make her hamburger right. We sent it out 3 or 4 times. Mm. And it was not right. So I finally went out there. I said, "Ma'am, I am so sorry." She said, "Look, I'm at the hospital, and my husband's dying." Mm. She said, "I just want a hamburger." Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that gave us a whole new perspective.
Yeah.
So we tried several more times, and we finally got her fixed up. But then when we saw where she was coming from, we understood. Yeah. She had no patience, and she had every right to not have any patience.
Right. She wasn't trying to be rude and difficult.
No, she was just trying to get away for a minute or two.
So, we talked about in the individual Sonics that it's a top-down kind of culture created, mm-hmm. but I'm guessing that there's probably somewhat of an atmosphere within the Sonic Corporation. So, is there some things that are instilled, from above you with the Sonic brand that you've kind of learned or...
Well, just be very honest. It used to be. It used to be a very family corporation. Now, Sonic has been bought by another corporation. Maybe not as much as it was, but then again, as franchisees, we have the ability to make it what we want it, mm-hmm. To be, and for the atmosphere to be what we want it to be, and so we have a lot of freedom there, mm-hmm. and very thankful for it.
In case you're just joining us, I have Robert Stewart involved with a lot of the Sonics in Middle Tennessee. And so have you ever met the CEO of Sonic?
Well, it's a funny story. So I had a cook, and she's a dear lady of mine, been working for me. We're very good friends. In fact, I was just with her at the hospital. She's not in the hospital, but she had a family member. And so she kept wanting to go home. And she just kept telling me she would cough, and I could tell she was making herself cough. And it's just kind of funny. So I felt this tap on my shoulder as I was taking an order, and I thought it was her. So I turned around. I said, "What?" And it was the CEO of Sonic walked in the front door, come around, and tapped me on the shoulder. And then I just said that right in front of him. His name was Steve Lynn. Now, we got to be a little bit chummy, but he's that way with everybody. But he had family in Cookeville that had passed away, and he didn't want any publicity, and that's what brought him to cook. Well, and he was nice enough to come in.
Come see you.
Yeah, gave me a heart attack.
Check out. Yeah. Well, and in Sonics, in case those who aren't familiar with Sonic, no one's coming in the door.
Yeah, nobody's
staff.
Coming in.
I mentioned to you when I first moved south, I grew up in Michigan, I would always see these Sonic commercials, and they're always sitting in the car.
Right.
And I thought, why are they always in the drive-thru? Well, it's America's Drive-In. I didn't realize that it was a drive-in.
Now,
we had A&W.
Right.
There are
some Sonics that do have indoor.
Oh, okay.
Where it's colder, up in Illinois' northern part. So they do have some indoors along with the drive-thru. Now, what the drive-thru did for us during COVID, we got to stay open. Mm-hmm. And we have never been so busy in our whole life. We had, you come to Sonic, get a burger, fry, and drink. We're going to get that out to you fast. Mm-hmm. But if you come order 100 of them, mm-hmm. But we had people doing that. I know we had people that had come out of the mountains and had come down to feed the whole tribe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is the first time this has ever happened, but it was about 2:00 one afternoon. We had all worked from 5 a.m. till 2 without any breaks. I don't even think any of us had gone to the bathroom. Mm. And I finally looked at everybody and I said, I don't have any more. I don't have any more. We're going to close. Never. That's the only time that's happened mm-hmm. in 40 years. And we closed at 2:00 in the afternoon simply because we just couldn't do anymore.
Yeah.
There was nobody to give us a break and anything like that. But So that it's we were very blessed in that regard with COVID. We were very, very busy, and we were a great place to social distance.
Yeah.
So
have, and what, you know, you've created this ministry, but is there anything about the sign? Because you could go start some other fast food chain, mm-hmm. and do this somewhere else. So is there anything specifically with Sonic, and maybe it is part of that drive-in atmosphere that is different than every other fast food?
I don't know what it is because I don't have experience anywhere else. Yeah. But, you know, it's basically what the owner is going to promote. A business can be a dark place, mm-hmm. if the owner's dark. Mm-hmm. If you care about folks and you want to see folks successful, any business, I think, can be a light to folks. It's all in who it is. And I'm just fortunate that all my senior partners, I have several, are just all good men and good women.
Yeah.
And so that gives me the freedom to do that.
Well, and then you can create the culture that you want to create in that environment. Because like you said, food industry can be really dark.
It can.
And, you know, being able to create that company culture the right way is definitely very, very, it's a good effort. You know, it's a good thing.
Amen.
So stick with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I am Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Robert Stewart in of Middle Tennessee Sonics. So, you know, you started in the middle of a cow pasture, basically, mm-hmm. on Jefferson. It's so crazy to think. Are you in a Cookeville?
Moved kid? Here when we opened 40 years ago. I'm okay. Crossville originally. Okay. So
still Middle Tennessee.
Middle Tennessee. I got to see, you know, it's funny, you know, if people complain that a restaurant opened up on them, because it always takes a little business. Well, I've had every restaurant in the world open up on us, plus two Sonics.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of understand that issue.
And and you've seen a lot of them close, too.
Yeah.
You know, kind of in your neck of the woods, there was that Krispy Kreme. There was all this, hubbub about Krispy Kreme.
Oh, I thought they would do great.
Coming to Cookeville, and that did not last that long.
No.
That was a short-lived restaurant here in town.
Well, it's like I said, the margins are here's the deal with a restaurant. If they're very busy, they're making a lot of money. If they're half full, they're not making any.
Yeah.
If they're less than half, they're losing a lot.
Mm.
So you've got to do everything you can to be very busy. Then you'll do well.
Mm-hmm.
If you have that downtime and it's just a little bit too much downtime, then you get in trouble.
Well, and staying on top of everything and making sure that you have the right amount of employees for the right amount of rush hour and all that kind of stuff, which I'm sure, you know, is not easy, but over time you kind of get a feel for things. But like you said, you couldn't prepare for COVID.
No, we couldn't have prepared for that. But you get a sixth sense, so to speak, of you can just tell when school's out, our breakfast isn't going to be as good. Mm-hmm. When school's in, our breakfast is good.
Yeah.
And temperature is a big deal. We have a lot of handicapped folks that eat with us. Mm-hmm. They don't have to get out of the car. A lot of older folks.
Moms, let me tell you.
There you go.
Mom, I don't have to take the kids out of the car.
Now, your car may get trashed. I'm sorry for that. But you don't have to get out of the car. And then we have folks that take care of handicapped individuals that will drive them to Sonic and get them some food. Mm-hmm. And they're usually sitting in the back and, you know, we try to, you know, take care of them. So I like that aspect of the business, that we can be a blessing and something good for folks that may have a little bit of a trial in life.
So you got Jefferson up and running and then decided to expand and have open another one. And that was the Jackson.
That was a Jackson store. Not real excited about doing that because they're so close, but Sonic Corp came in and said, if you don't, we will. Mm. So we were a little bit pressured to do that. It's turned out to be decent. It's turned out to be good. The Jackson store opened in 98. It did take about half the business of Jefferson. So we just had to figure out how to make ends meet. And then Cookeville really started to grow, you know, in about 2008 was a rough time for everybody. I don't know if it mm-hmm. was for y'all.
Yep.
It was tough for us. And then after 2008, things got very stable and we could make it happen. The mall came in and did, you know, of course they were there before us, but, you've got to be flexible. You've got to be, able to change and adapt. And if you get too rooted into one thing, you won't be able to make it.
Yeah. Well, and too set in your ways. I think it also kind of keeps you fresh, probably keeps you a little younger than maybe a desk job or maybe even geology would have.
Yeah, that is my hobby and my love. But I always say that I am a restaurateur by necessity. Mm. My profession is a geologist, and I'm a self-taught naturalist. So, but it all can work.
How was opening the Jackson store different? Because you'd already had the experience of the Jefferson store under your belt or restaurant. How was that different, better, worse for you opening the Jackson?
It's always difficult to open a store. Mm-hmm. You will get usually a team from other Sonics to come and work as they train. And usually we will send people to other stores to get trained. But you're just never quite ready. It's just it's hard. It's never easy, but that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And we brought some people from Sparta, people from Jefferson, and some folks from actually Nashville, and to help open the store. And we got it open. And you got to do it right first. You know, you don't worry too much about your labor. You don't worry too much about your food costs at first, because if you blow it off if people come in, they get cold food. They don't get waited on and seen to in the right amount of time.
Or if your order, like if there's not, you're out of stuff, that's super.
And if you get it wrong, mm-hmm. you know. And now the thing about getting an order wrong, if you bend over backwards to make it right, don't you agree it makes you come across as a customer pleased a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, you're more likely to come back,
right?
Because like we were saying earlier, I think that company culture is really apparent to a customer.
Yeah.
And so if you understand that people are trying and they're doing their best and they have a good attitude, it makes me want to go back, and it actually makes me want to tell other people to go to that establishment.
I was at a restaurant, obviously won't say the name, but I could tell something huge happened. We were 45 minutes, hadn't gotten our meal, and I saw the owner come out and just go to table to table to table to apologize. And so I give a lot of grace and mercy to other restaurants. If things have fallen apart, if all the cooks got mad and went home, hey, I'm going to stay there and cheer them on.
Wait it out.
Cheer the staff that's there on and not. It gives me. It just, you know, experience it. I've experienced some things like that. It helps you have a lot of mercy with other people.
In case you're just joining us, we have Robert Stewart with Middle Tennessee Sonics. So we opened the Jefferson store, the Jackson store, and then the All Good store kind of came around as well.
And, you know, the way that kind of works with us is we bring people up through the ranks. So the partner in the All Good store worked as a manager at Jackson for several years, and then obviously you prove yourself, and the partners go, yeah. And so he moved into the Jackson store. And, a lot of my senior partners, that's their decision, you know, for that. But, you know, I did kind of have to let him go, and that caused a little pain for us because we're missing one of our main people. Mm-hmm. But in order to grow and do, that's what you got to do.
So, now, you know, your day to day at that time, you were at the store nearly 24 hours, you know, 7 days a week. You've since taken vacations. What does your day to day look like now in what you're doing?
It's still busy.
Are you still in all the store in the store daily?
I still have to be at one of the stores for several hours a day. Not as much. I've got about five managers at Jackson. I got about five managers at Jefferson. And I'm managing the managers. But still on call 24/7. I get a call at 10 o'clock at night that the ice cream machine is not working. So who goes in and fixes it in the middle of the night? It's me. Mm. But that's okay. That's what I signed up for. And you can't.
You think you were signing up for a lifetime?
At 29, what I'd been through, I didn't know what I was signing up for. I just had twin boys, and
you needed food on the table.
Yeah. My wife had a very lucrative job. She's an accountant, but she said, I can't with twin boys. I can't go back to work. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, we'll do whatever we got to do.
Yeah.
And we had saved quite a bit of money. And when the oil business crashed, we were both able to stay home for a year and take care of the kids. We ran through all of our money. And then the Sonic happened, and it was able to work.
Yeah. So what's your plan for the future? You know,
well, I'm 67. I would like to retire. Probably what I would really like is for the Sonics to be bought out. That would help me and everybody else to the best. But I will probably work several years. I don't see sitting down and retiring. And we're still seeing so much success with people working through the store and helping them do and what they got. I can't just drop that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's not something that someone else can step into. That faith that you're put in these people, in your employees' path, you know, God has put you there for a reason.
Amen.
Is not something that a lot of other people can step into.
No. Well, you know, they can. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. I don't know. I just know what I can do. Mm-hmm. And I have I had a very difficult growing up, and I saw where the Lord came in and saw to me when I wasn't thinking of Him at all. Mm-hmm. And some people call that prevenient grace. But I just I saw where I was really taken care of. Where things could have gone south really quickly, and thank God they didn't. So it would be hard to leave family that need you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and I think I was a high school teacher, and I think I had that.
You're brave.
You know, feeling that I was really instilling so much into these young people, and still to this day, I only did it for 5 years, but still to this day, people will come back to me. They're in their 30s now, and you know, you impacted my life. And so when you can find those positions and you can really relate to and make an impact on other people's lives that aren't your family members, they're not your birth children. And you see it comes full circle. You mentioned in the first segment that, you know, you're on an operating table and one of the nurses is somebody who worked for you.
Yeah.
And think of if you had, you know, provided a poor environment for him.
Well, I wanted to remember, did I fire him or did he leave well? I just, you know, I didn't know it, but no, he left really well.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, it's very interesting. I'll be in Walmart and I'll see a middle-aged lady. Now, look, I'm 67, but I still think I'm 30. And I'll see this 30-year-old person walking up with a spouse and with four kids. And they go, "Hey, Mr. Stewart, do you remember me when I was 16? And sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But that's just real rewarding that they would even care enough to say hi.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And that's a good part about the
job. It's a true testament to the impact that you put on their lives.
Well, listen, let me don't blow it up too much.
Sometimes you need somebody else to give you a pat on the back.
Well, thank you.
Well, I can't wait to see, you know, what happens for you in the future. If you know, you stick around for a few more years or, you know, you end up kind of flying off into the sunset, whichever it is. But thank you for your contribution to the landscape of Cookeville. I think that these Sonics are really, you know, integral parts of the community, and you've been a huge part of that. So,
well, thank you. And I have to give the credit to the Lord, and thank you much.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. Go check out Sonic. Go get a drink during happy hour today.